Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by
Natalie and Aaron met on CatholicSingles.com after they realized that they needed to find someone who shared their faith. Meet other faithful Catholics on the original Catholic dating site. Download our app today for free.
Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Holo is here to help. Holo is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Holo has something for everyone. Holo is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.holo.app/breadbox.
O Lord my God, thou searchest me, my heart and mind are known to thee. Nothing is hidden from thy eyes, when I sit down and when I rise.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now at the hour of our death. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit and it shall be created. Let us pray. O God, instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit. Grant that by the same Spirit may be truly wise and ever joyous in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Lady Guadalupe, St. Ignatius, Father Lanteri, all God's angels and saints. The Lord be with you. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. What is your opinion? A man had two sons, came to the first and said, Son, go out and work in the vineyard today. He said in reply, I will not, but afterwards. He changed his mind and went. The man came to the other son and gave the same order. Said in reply, yes, sir, but did not go. Which of the two did his father's will? They answered the first. Jesus said to them, many, many say to you, tax collectors and prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God before you. When John came to you in the way of righteousness, you did not believe him, but tax collectors, prostitutes did. Yet even when you saw that, you did not later change your minds and believe him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus
Christ. Good evening. So that Gospel is clear that it's not sufficient simply to say, but rather we have to do. We have to carry out our good initiatives, carry out our intentions. So we're going to be judged not simply on good thoughts and good feelings, but carrying out God's will. As Jesus said, not all those who say, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but those who do the will of God, those who carry it out. So let's pray that we're not simply be hearers of the word of God, but we will try to do God's will. Okay, so let's go back to our text. All of you have your handouts, right?
We have new ones.
Oh, we have new ones, okay. So we're going to hand out. So we'll start with number 193. St. Faustina says, my heart is a permanent dwelling place for Jesus. What does that mean? If you're baptized, and you're living in the state of grace, you can say the same thing. Your heart is a permanent dwelling place for Jesus. Every time you receive Holy Communion, your heart becomes a living tabernacle. Your heart becomes a monstrance. Your heart becomes a castle where the king lives, or a palace where the king lives. If we recognize that our great dignity that we have, then that will help us to live according to that dignity, and it'll help us to avoid sin. The spirituality of the Carmelites is essentially this, the indwelling of the Blessed Trinity through grace. That's Teresa of Avila, John of the Cross, St. Elizabeth of the Trinity, the Little Flower, St. Benedict of the Cross, or Edith Stein. Here's a theological question for you. Okay, I celebrated Mass, finished a few minutes ago. Okay, I exposed the Blessed Sacrament, right? People knelt down, right? A lot of people knelt down, right? Fine. Did they have to kneel down if they had received communion? I've often wondered about that. As I sat down, I kind of struggle with that theologically. And even this, I mean, people are looking up at the Blessed Sacrament, which is fine. But could they look within? So when I expose the Blessed Sacrament, I know the Lord is present there, but the Lord is actually within me. So I'm not so much paying attention to that, but I'm entering in and I'm maintaining a conversation with Jesus. You understand? Both are fine. Both are fine. But I'm keenly aware of Jesus within me. And I'm talking to him as we did for about 5 minutes. Those were precious moments. Huh? 400 people there in silence. Well, a little baby crying, but you can't win them all, right? No? But 400 people in silence, either looking at the Lord or looking within. So, not saying either one is better, but my style is, I'm the one that exploded, I'm the priest. But I'm not so much looking at Lord the altar, I'm talking to the Lord within me. It's something to reflect upon, isn't it? If I give someone the host and he has it in his picks, should that person be making a genuflection? Really not, because he's got the Blessed Sacrament right over his heart. These are little minute details of, well, I mean, I'm a priest, and anything to enhance our love for the Eucharist. But if the Blessed Sacrament were exposed, or you had the Eucharist within you, you're just sitting down and you didn't kneel down because you're so absorbed in talking with the Lord, there's really nothing wrong with that. Because the Lord is within us. Physically, how long would it take for the body to consume the host? What, I'm not a doctor, probably 15 minutes they say, right? The bodily heat. Then the effects last depending upon the fervor of the communion. So there's a theological reflection for this very erudite group we have this evening. Let's read on. No one but Jesus has access to it. It is from Jesus that I derive strength to fight difficulties and oppositions. Try to rely more on God and less on yourself. Amen? Try to rely more on God and less on yourself. If you rely upon yourself, sooner or later you're going to fall flat on your face. Probably sooner rather than later. Let's read on. I want to be transformed into Jesus in order to be able to give myself completely to souls. The best way for you to be transformed into Jesus is to receive our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in Holy Communion. Your Holy Communion and your holy hour can actually work together. Your Holy Communion would be much more efficacious if you're connecting it with your holy hour. So you're making your holy hour in function of bringing your intentions and your holy hour to the altar. That's done. When you receive Holy Communion, it's going to be much more efficacious. Arrive at a certain point where everything is related to the Eucharist. We prepare for it. We receive it. And we give thanksgiving for that great gift. It really is a great gift. She says, to give myself completely to souls. If we love God, we should love what God loves. What does God love? God loves the salvation of souls. Very clear. So she's got two things. She wants to love God, but she wants to become an instrument by which God will use her to save many souls. You people are here, you're here for the same reason. The more united you are to Christ, the more you're going to be able to save souls in the very short life that we all have. How many souls are going to be saved because of your holiness? Hopefully hundreds. Hopefully thousands. Why not? Maybe you've never done this after communion, but Lord, take this communion to save many, many souls. Lord, I just received communion. I pray that until the end of the day, all those people who die will be receiving the grace of final repentance because of my communion. Your communion is powerful. But if we don't understand this, all these graces are going to be lost. A lot depends upon our knowledge of these spiritual truths that I'm sharing with you gratis. Oh, what? That deserves, I think, an attitude of gratitude. I think so, yeah. How many souls will be saved because we understand this mystical, sacramental truth? And it is. How many graces are wasted because we don't really prepare ourselves to make these fervent communions that are so important for God? Indai was saying in the sacristy about 5 minutes ago, she's saying, how blessed the people are in St. Peter's, they have so many masses, right? There's a mass at 6, 8, 10:30, 12, 5, 6:15, 8:30. What more do you want? We can become jaded. Yep. Can become jaded. We can take it for granted, huh? You know, you might even beg for the grace that you won't become jaded and take the masses for granted. I think that's a good prayer. First Mass, last Mass, only Mass. Now I believe that if you do your holy hour well and you make your daily examen, I don't think you're going to fall into that attitude of just taking the Lord for granted. Because if you do your daily examen, the Holy Spirit is going to be pointing out to you, you know, your communions are becoming weaker. Your communions are less fervent than last year. Oh. Well, the Holy Spirit might gently reproach you in that area. Thanks be to God, right? Spiritual life, it's a constant battle to keep ascending. Constant battle. Don't give up. Let's move on. Without Jesus, I would not get near to souls. Because they know what I am of myself. That's interesting. Maybe be overly blunt, but if a person that's living in mortal sin, what is he going to do when he's encountering people? Probably will be transmitting, communicating that corona spiritual virus. When I was thinking about that the past couple of days, so we're so persnickety and meticulous about that. But how much we do to avoid transmitting the moral spiritual coronavirus to the people that we associate with? That was my thought today. You gotta wash your hands, make sure you don't sneeze on anyone. Okay, don't put any holy water now in the water font there. Make sure, you know, the sign of peace, you know, become more like the Chinese. No. Okay. Don't take from the chalice. I'm not debunking this, but my thought was, what do we do not to transmit the spiritual virus of sin to others? Actually, very little, right? We get the corona, well, become permanent residents in Forest Lawn or All Souls, right? But what if you die with the spiritual coronavirus? You become a permanent resident of? That's worse, isn't it? I think we should all try to always, like Faustina, be holy so we can transmit holiness to others. Amen? Amen. Be holy so that we can transmit holiness. Las buenas ondas, no malas, malas ondas. Huh? You know how you say that in English, Raquel or Ricardo or Claudia? We said good or bad vibes. That's colloquial American English. The good or bad vibes. Spanish, buenas malas ondas. We want to send las buenas ondas, no las malas ondas, right? Right, doctor? Yeah. Buenas ondas. I absorb God into myself in order to give Him the souls. I like that. Isn't that beautiful? I absorb God into myself in order to give Him the souls. If you take a note, you might put in parentheses the word sponge. What does a sponge do? I say when I'm preaching baptisms, I say that little children are like sponges. You got grandchildren, they're sponges. They can absorb either good or bad, right? You put a 3-year-old, 4-year-old in front of the TV and they're saying bad words, he's going to start to say bad words, right? When I was about 17, I had a little brother that was 3. And my father had his limitations. I never heard my dad say a four-letter word in my life. It was just he and mom, they were just educated. You know, you don't do that. Huh? So in our family, we just using ribald, vulgar languages that just was not part of the Broom household. But what happened was my little brother came in and he, I guess was out one of his friends, used a four-letter word and he brought it into the house. My parents almost had a heart attack, no? And he said it a second time. And my dad said, if you ever say that word again, I'm going to spank you into next week. So what happened was, the little kid, very spontaneous, he said it again. My dad paddled him, and the bad word came out again. but that was the last time it came out. My dad paddled that out of spring sting. <huh? laughs> You've read an anal of the broom stories, the anecdotes, huh? Okay, then one last idea on this. We are sponges. In the 24 hours, maybe do an examination, what have you absorbed in your life in the past 24 hours? Good question, huh? Okay, has it been 100% have been good things? Hello? Well, if it has been, good. But maybe not. Maybe there are certain absorption elements in our spiritual life that are not helping us to grow in holiness. That means what you absorb. Aquinas, following Aristotle, says the eyes are the gateway to the soul, as well as the ears. What are we looking at? What are we listening to? That's a good one. That's a good Lenten examination, I believe. So sponges. We're called to absorb spiritually so we can be wrung out. Run dry. That's called the call of the king. Call the King, what is that? We absorb the Word of God through our holy hour, through our ongoing formation, what we're doing tonight, right? So that we can allow ourselves to be wrung out. We don't want the well to go dry, do we? We don't want the well to go dry. So constantly we have to be filling that well with the life-giving water. That's our holy hour. That's the Eucharist. I'll give you one day that's captivated me over the past 24 hours listening to Conversation with God on Relevant Radio. Given that I spent a lot of time in the confessional, they had a segment 2 days ago on confession, relating it to the book of Jonah. Now, conversion comes through confession. And they often quote Balaguer, who's the founder of Opus Dei, but they often quote Thomas Aquinas. Okay, take a person, okay, let's take a person that commits a mortal sin. You know what that is, right? He goes to confession. After confession, does he have more grace, the same amount of graces, or less grace after confession? Hello? Aquinas says it could be either more, the same, or less. And that stuck with me the past 48 hours, as I spent a lot of time hearing confessions, and I went to my confessor in Dominguez Hills today, no? That's a holy hour, isn't it? I'll give you, if you don't understand, I'll illustrate it. Okay, you go to confession and you commit that sin and you just rush the confession, rush in, rush out, you're forgiven. But there are not that many graces because your preparation was pretty quick. Your confession was done in a way which you were not really thinking too much. You left the confessional, you almost forgot what the penance was. Okay, you're forgiven. What happens if you're maybe spending an hour preparing yourself for that confession? Maybe you said the act of contrition maybe 50 times. Maybe you look at the cross, Jesus on the cross. Maybe you're begging the Lord from the depths of your heart the grace not to go back to that sin again. And maybe before that you practice some type of fasting. Maybe you prayed a rosary before. Well, when you come out of that, whew, I like that idea. And I think it speaks to all of us. And you've heard me use this concept before, the dispositive grace, right? You receive graces in proportion to your disposition. That could also be applied to the Eucharist. It could be applied to the reception of holy orders. You know, in 1984, I remember it was like May, and Father Greg Staub was about to be ordained with Father John Lyons and Father Dave Keeter. They were companions. You know those priests? So they were 2 years ahead of me. I remember Father Greg Staub's mother came about a week before, and she was spending the whole week in the church, in the chapel, praying and offering up sacrifices for Father Craig's ordination. And that really impressed me. That she's offering all those communions and rosaries so that when he was ordained, really like a deluge of graces. How many couples before they get married, they've made a 30-day Ignatian retreat, both of them? Did you do that? How about a 15-day retreat? How about a 3-hour retreat? You're kind of laughing, but if we as priests and religious, in a certain sense, married couples should do something similar to that. Do you agree with that? Because really it's the exact opposite, thinking, oh, the honeymoon, who's coming in from Manila, okay? We're going to have carrot cake or... Is the rug going to be red? Are we going to give rice or bubble stuff? You know, no bubble stuff. That's called a Franciscan poverty, right? Okay. So think about these transcendental things, rather. I think we have to push married couples in that direction and take it more seriously. But we've had, Mary, more than once, couples that did the 10-week program almost right up to the day of their wedding. Two or three times. Remember that? Like two or three couples that were almost up to a week before they got married. They're doing both the husband, the fiancés, were meditating on a daily basis for 10 weeks. Not bad. That's called preparing for holy matrimony, dispositive grace. Amen. So I think we've done justice to 193. I think so. Amen. March 27th. Do you know what happened March 27th, 1955? My brother Mike was born, okay? So I'm an Irish twin now, so. Do you know what an Irish twin is? So I'm born within a year. I desire to struggle. Do you like the struggle? It's interesting that this is a woman religious saying, I desire to struggle. Isn't this going to be so countercultural? Some of us say, I prefer to sleep in, huh? A desire to struggle, toil, and empty myself for our work of saving immortal souls. Wow. Isn't that great? A desire to struggle, toil, and empty myself for our work of saving immortal souls. How could the curia virus spend 15 hours a day for 40 years in the confessional? How could he do it? Why? Because he recognized the value of immortal souls. How could the Padre Pio have 50 years of the stigmata, understood the value of immortal souls? How could little children of Fatima make those heroic sacrifices? 8, 9, 10 years of age. Why? Because they recognize the value of mortal souls. I believe that this is very much related to the call of the king, this number. Have you heard of that before? Renee, have you? Eric, have you heard of that before? Yeah. The call of the king? I know, but I've always loved that. I just call the king every time we give that in the exercise. I've got consolation. Struggle, toil, and empty myself for our work of saving immortal souls. How hard athletes work to become good athletes, right? Long hours. How about boot camp? You know, soldiers, how much effort does soldiers put in to prepare themselves for battle? How about musicians? How much effort do they put in to become a dilettante in music, whatever it might be? How about writers? How about poets? So on a human level, people bend over backwards. They bend over backwards for some human pursuit. What do we do to save souls? It's kind of embarrassing, isn't it? No? On a human level, very often they go way beyond us. St. Paul says, using the image of the athletes in the Olympic Games, do all they possibly can to get a crown of leaves, because they would have laurels, that would be the crowning leaves that wither in time. And we? An eternal crown. It does not matter if these efforts should shorten my life. How many saints do you know that really their life was shortened because they were working to save souls? Did you ever read the life of Charles Borromeo? He died when he was 46 years old. Francis Xavier died at 46. St. Louis de Montfort died at 46. A lot of saints died at 46. Anyone 46? You know, Charles Borromeo did. It was the corona disease of Italy. It was not the corona, but it was the plague, right? And basically it decimated. And they all took off from Milan. He stood there and he died with Luis Gonzaga, right? Trying to help plague victims. What about Francis Xavier? Preaching and converting souls, right? Not to say that that has to happen with us. I think it's a good idea to watch over our health, right? But we don't want to be lazy or complacent. I want to work with the Lord as best we can to save souls. Amen?
Amen.
Does not matter if these efforts should shorten my life. It is no longer mine, but belongs to the community. I want to be useful to the whole church by being faithful to my community. What does that mean? She's a religious nun, right? They have rules. They have constitutions. They have vows. They have a charism. There's a foundress or founder. In a certain sense, it's kind of easier for us as religious and lay people because we have a built-in schedule. Father Matthew said this the other day in one of his talks. You know? They say prayers in the morning, midday. Apparently, I think they pray the office 4 or 5 times a day. We pray it not as often, but like I'm going back afterward. I'll be in the chapel with the priest. We'll be praying the rosary, the chapel of divine mercy, and the evening, the night prayer. It's built-in prayer. And I like the idea St. Louis de Montfort said, you receive, when you're praying the rosary, you receive the grace of the most fervent person. Remember one occasion I was sitting in the back of the chapel and we were praying the rosary. I say the first deck and then Father Antolin and then Father Larry, then Father Dave, Father Craig, we have our order, no? So I said the first one. I think we're into the third or fourth. I had a long day and I was exhausted. And all of a sudden, it's almost like there was a minor earthquake because my head bounced against the wall. I was agreeing with the prayer of Father Larry. So the yo-yo effect. So I'm glad in that rosary that I received the fervor of the other priest, because I certainly wasn't that fervent in that rosary, no? The value of community life, right? And unity is strength. Now, I really like that, because sometimes, I have to admit, I get up early, a little bit earlier than the other priests, no? Sometimes I'm really tired. And having them praying fervently is really encouragement for me. In a certain sense, the family should be modeled on that too. Right? It should be modeled on that. The family is the domestic church. Right, Raquel? Say your pardon. O Jesus, today my soul is, though darkened by suffering, is as though darkened by suffering. Not a single ray of light. The storm is raging, and Jesus is asleep. Oh, my Master, I will not wake you. I will not interrupt your sweet sleep. I believe that you fortify me without my knowing it. In all honesty, can I be honest with you? I would wake him up. I would wake him up. Faustina is more holy than I am. No? I would wake him up. Lord, I'm in darkness. Lord, there's a storm. Lord, the storm is raging. Lord, I'm in a Titanic right now. Lord, the ship is sinking. Lord, the other sailors have bailed out. I'm alone with the rats in the boat. Lord, Lord, wake up, please. No? I think I've got to be honest. I would wake him up. She's so gentle, maybe so very feminine, but I'm a kind of abrupt, strong man. No, Lord, wake up, wake up. Wake up. And I think the Lord would not be offended at that. Do you think he would? Actually, I think he wants us to wake him up. He wants us to depend upon him. He wants us to recognize how we can get nowhere without him. Do you remember that passage where the apostles are in the boat and Jesus is walking on the water at about 3 o'clock in the morning? Do you remember that passage, Fran? Do you? And then they cry out, ghost. In the confirmation this week, I said, what are the ghosts in your life? We all have our own ghosts, no? And then Jesus says, get a hold of yourself, it is I. Peter says, if it's really you, tell me to get out of the boat. He said, come. Peter's walking and then he starts to sink. And Jesus says, man of little faith, why did you doubt? He grabs him by the hand and he's able to walk on the water. Do any of you know the last verse of that passage? Well, the last verse is that Jesus gets in the boat and then the boat crosses right away to the shore. Right? It's a little detail that I've always meditated upon. He said, as soon as Jesus gets in, the waves calm, and they cross the boat, they cross the lake in no time. And I think that that's our lives if we try to cross the stormy lake just rowing with our own resources. We're not going to get very far. We may end up by just rowing in circles. No? I learned something new the other day, and it's outside my my window. There's that parking lot for Ferris Fetty. So probably about once a week, there's probably a young man that likes to make a lot of noise with his car. And again, I didn't know it's called a donut. I didn't know what that is. What, Elvira? They do that in front of your house too? Oh, Matthew does that? Oh no. Ariana, when she come back from... I didn't know that. But I was watching it, and I'd never seen him before. I thought that he was just going and screeching and putting on the brake, but he was going around the circle, and he said, that's the dumbest thing in the world. I think that's what we do if we're not with Jesus. We're doing donuts, huh? Not called Dunkin' Donuts, but dumb donuts. Huh? So me and Elvira have something in common. We got the donut guys outside our house, huh? You know, if someone sends that to your house, to make sure you get up for your holy hour, okay? Throughout the long hours, I adore you, O living bread, amidst the great drought in my soul. O Jesus, pure love, I do not need consolations. I am nourished by your will. O mighty one, your will is the goal of my existence. Seems to me that the whole world serves me and depends upon me. You, O Lord, understand my soul with all its aspirations. Jesus, when I myself cannot sing you the hymn of love, I admire the singing of the seraphim. They were so dearly loved by you. I desire to drown myself in you as they do. That's something that could really enrich your prayer. Why not invite, maybe your next holy hour, invite the seraphim, the cherubim, the virtues, the powers, the dominations, the archangels, and the angels to pray with you in your holy hour. Why not? Can you do that? Why don't you do that tomorrow? There you are with these angels in your holy hour, and they're helping you to praise and worship God for all eternity. Amen?
Amen.
So I scared three people away. Okay. Was that the good angels or the bad angels working on them? They go, they've got mass, right? Yeah. Nothing will stem such love, for no might has power over it. It is like lightning that illuminates the darkness, but does not remain in it. O Master, shape my soul according to your will and your eternal designs. So what she's saying is even more important than consolations, and consolations are important, even more important than consolations is to know God's will and to carry it out. So let's ask the Blessed Mother, Saint Faustina, all God's angels and saints, especially angels, that we would get to know God's will and to carry it out. Amen? Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sins. Amen. The Lord be with you. And may God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God bless you. See you next Friday.
Thou art before me and behind, and thou hast probed my heart and mind. Upon me thou hast laid thy hand. O Lord, how could I understand?
I feel silly trying to make up prayers myself. My mind starts to wander as I'm speaking to God. I just don't have time to pray. Do you recognize yourself in any of these statements? If so, we have a book for you. In Pray Fully, best-selling authors Michelle Fanley and Emily Jaminet share the rewards and frustrations of their own prayer journeys to create a practical guide that combines testimonies, tips, and journaling space to help you spend quality time with God. Whether you want to learn how to pray aloud in a group or stop your mind from wandering during prayer, Fanley and Jaminet have practical advice and the real-life experience to help you overcome obstacles to everyday prayer. Head over to AveMariaPress.com and use code LEARN2PRAY, that's LEARN, the number 2, PRAY, to get 20% off your copy today. Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small-batch artisan coffee using top-tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/breadboxmedia. Experience coffee like never before.